Welcome everyone to the Big Book Workshop 2025. This is week 28 of the recording. Today's topic is step four, dishonesty, secrets, shame, and guilt. Our inventory. A reminder that this is a Big Book Workshop. We are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship. However, we do try to follow the spirit of the 12 traditions. We only wish to be helpful. The goal of these steps is a transformation, a change in the way we think, feel, and behave. This is a way of living that brings peace, forgiveness, and joy. May you find some of that here with us. Welcome, everyone, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Joanne, and just for today, I am your facilitator and step guide. Please take a moment to come into a meditation. So, I generally start with some mindfulness, and how I do that is I close my eyes and I find my diaphragm breath. So, I breathe from the belly and I just rest and I become aware and centered and close my eyes. And then we lean in for the set aside. And I call on that spirit or that inner whispering wisdom, that gentle guide. Please, can you set aside everything I think I know about myself and who I should be and what I think I know about these steps and how far along I should be. Please open my heart. Please open my mind and allow me to have a new experience. A new experience of compassion and wisdom. A new experience with this sense of peace and ease and comfort. So let's just take a moment to think about where we are. Coming back into this space, back into this room, opening our eyes. My name is Joanne. I am in Australia. That's where I am. Where are you? We are a worldwide fellowship reading from this big book. We are going to be reading from the big book today. So if you have a big book nearby, go and grab it. We're going to be reading. I believe we're starting at page 70. We are taking a look week by week, page by page, paragraph by paragraph. We go through the big book. This was a book written a long time ago, the 1930s, Bill W. and the community around him participating and building this wisdom. And that's what we're going through. What we learn here is extended column work. So it is different to other methods of going through and taking inventory. There are many ways of doing inventory. They're not wrong or right. The first inventory I did was just an autobiography. That was it. And I had an experience. It's enough. The next time I went through the big book, it was in a particular fellowship and they had a workbook. And my sponsor said, here. And then I went through the workbook. It was fine. A lot of that was self-directed learning. A lot of what I was doing was self-directed. And it was okay. It was good. Another time I went through the steps and it was a table and you had to tick the boxes when you Are you experiencing, are you self-centered? Yes. Are you in, is there dishonesty? Yes. Tick. And then you move on. Okay. And I mean, great. There are different methods of going through the steps. Some of them are super quick, where you just tick boxes. And there's other fellowships who have different methods. They all have different ways of approaching the 12 steps. For me, I found a method that has been transformative in the big book itself. Following the readings of the big book and doing what I call extended column work. It was what was passed on to Herb, who is my, Herb is my step guide. And it was passed on to him by his step guide and passed on to him by his step guide. So it started around the 1970s, somewhere in there. Now I might be wrong actually with those dates. I should probably get it, you know, when, how did it evolve? And each time, as we go through, we're building. So you're going to find doing these steps with, who's done the steps through with Herb before? Some of us have. Now, those people that raise their hands, am I doing, is it the same when you do it with me? Is it the same? No. Right? It's not. Here's my step guide. And the step guide before him did the best he could. But didn't have the wisdom. Herb put his fingerprint on it. The wisdom. Herb came from a deep analytical. He's a student of religions and faith and society. Like he's a student, and he loves learning. And so he brought the depth of his wisdom. Excuse me. He brought the depth of his wisdom to his teaching. So the sponsors passed on to him what was passed on to them. And he put his fingerprint on it. And that is what you are experiencing here today is my fingerprint, Joe. So I come from a different background than Herb. I come from extreme anxiety. Panic, food has been part of my history and codependency. So I have, I mean, I'm now 12 years sober, alcohol, 24 years from drugs. The dates might be slightly wrong. I don't know, 24, 25. Like it's like a long time, right? When recently, about 6 months ago, I had a hospital treatment and they give you drugs for that. And coming out, I felt like I was one day sober, abstinent, clean. Like I was like, I felt, and it had been a long, long time. But you feel in your body something, and it's, I remember that. It's been a long time, but I remember. So I come from a different life experience. Codependency was the biggest one. People bother me. I couldn't leave the house. The anxiety and the thinking, the intrusive thoughts, I couldn't bear for anyone to see me. I didn't want to be seen. Like I was overwhelmed and exhausted by myself. And my recovery from that is what I bring to the work that I do. So it's a fingerprint. And it's embracing the wisdom of my step guide, Herb, and it's building on that. And that's what we do. Each of us, each of you are a fingerprint of recovery. And you do the best you can. Our job, my job is to stay in alignment with my spirit. See, I got to stay in alignment. I'm human, so I float around. I get in and out. You'll see it. I'm here every week. You'll see me when I'm having an off day and when I'm having a day that's more in alignment. And that's our job, is to stay in alignment and to be in the world, to be amongst the world. But I don't today. I try not to reach down and fix it for you, because look at my alignment. When I reach down to fix you and bring you into alignment, look what happened to both of us. We are both out of alignment. My job is just to be here and be available, be present. My recovery today, my vision statement, part of it is my presence is my present, my gift, to be present in the world. Right? To be present. So I use these principles with my children who are growing, but I can't reach down and fix it for them because we both get out of alignment. And that's tough. I use it with my parents. They're getting older. I can't reach down and fix it. I get in my head exactly what I think they should do. And they never listen anyway. And they're doing fine, Joe. Like they're okay. I get a lesson every day. My parents keep schooling me. I get to practice the set aside. Set aside what I think I know they should do and who they should be, and practice allowing them to have their journey. So, our journey, our step work today takes us into the inventory work. So we're building into, in the big book, it talks about the main inventories are the resentment. We start with resentment work, then we move into fear, and then we move into the inventory of the sex inventory. And then I pause for a minute and I get everyone to compile their work. That was what we did last week. If you missed it, it wasn't really doing any extra work. It was compiling all the work we've already done. And getting ready to think about this fifth step, getting ready to book it in. And I suggested last week that in about a month, so now it might be in 3 weeks, you might even not need that long. But you know, sometimes it takes time to book a fifth step. It's going to take 3 hours, roughly, if you've done a lot of work. If you've been following along as we go, it takes around about 3 hours, give or take, depending on your inventory. But that's the chunk of time you're going to need with that step guide or sponsor. So booking that in is something you can start thinking about. Can I book it in? I've got a fifth step. I'm pretty ready to go through it with you. Could we make a time in about 3 weeks? How are we going to do that? What are the logistics? Is it possible? Okay. You don't need to, sometimes it can't happen for a month or 2 months, or you're going to wait until you see each other face to face. And for some of us, that's going to be a journey, like where you travel. So that's okay. In the meantime, we keep moving along and learning. So the three inventories that we start with, resentment, fear, and sex, we get them all together. And then we sit in a meditation because there are parts of my history that have been huge and painful, sometimes trauma, and they don't belong. I haven't put them in the resentment because I'm not angry about them, maybe because I've stuffed them down so far. There's no anger, or I didn't write it as an anger. There's no fear. Well, I haven't written it as a fear. It's like I just haven't spoken about it yet, and I haven't spoken about it in the sex inventory either. So this is behavior that I chose the sex inventory as an adult, even. Okay, a behavior that I got into. So when we get into this last inventory, today's inventory, it's going to be talking about shame. And this shame blocks me from the sunlight of the spirit. Am I ready to let it go? Does that mean, sponsors, that you have to sit there and listen to hours and hours of someone else's shame? No. I'm sorry, sponsors. No. Okay, pay attention, sponsors. No. Boundaries. No. You know who I'm talking to. Okay, boundaries. Boundaries is because this sponsorship is not here to replace therapy and outside wisdom. And we burden ourselves and we damage sponsorship when we try to do it. As sponsors, we can't always handle all the stuff that's going on for someone else. And even if we can, is it the role of the sponsor to take it? No. The shame inventory is a place for me to indicate the issues that I have. The perhaps some trauma, perhaps some guilt, perhaps some financial dishonesty, perhaps something that I've done, or something to do with my body or something where I feel it hasn't come up in any of the inventory work, and there is pain around it. So it's a very brief inventory when you're a sponsor and a sponsee. It's just a bullet, not a literally a bullet. Like what do they call it? Like a brief, one sentence or two sentence, like just to say this has gone on, and I'm getting some help around it. So just keep it super brief, and the sponsor hears this work and can guide me and support me in getting outside help. Have you done it? Like, have you done it? Have you been speaking about it? Like, can keep me accountable for getting outside help. Some of us have financial shame, you know? So as a sponsor, I don't know what the financial thing is to do, but I can help you be accountable for getting your finances connected. Who can you connect to about your finances? Health and some health shame around our bodies or our health. I can support you in connecting with a health professional regularly, like in getting regular help. So, as a sponsor, it can just be an awareness of what's going on. That I don't keep a secret from them. So I tell them, hey, this is going on, and I'm getting some outside help for it. So I don't know if I've been clear with that. I've got some diagram, some PowerPoint to go to, but we're going to start with some reading in a moment. But before that, I'm going to come to the greeter and give us a chance to open up the chat after the greeter has done her thing. We'll open the chat for exchanging contact details and asking you're welcome to ask me a question. And there was a question that in the chat throughout the week that I got, and I'm gonna make a note to come to that in a moment after Steph as well. So thank you, Steph. If you could come in with the greeter script, thank you.
Thank you, Ter. Hello, my name is Steph, and I'm your greeter here today. If you open up the Zoom chat, you will see a welcome pack there shortly. This is free to download and includes information about this workshop, links, and other helpful podcasts. If you are having any technical difficulties or have any other questions, please let me know in the chat. For those of you on the telephone today, this welcome pack is also available on our website resources page, www.bigbookworkshop.com. Would you like me to continue with Pass the Basket?
Yes, please.
It is time to pass the basket. This group is fully self-supporting through our own contributions. We rely on your support each week. Your contribution helps, and we are grateful. You can make an anonymous donation using the link that will be there in the chat in just a moment. Thank you so much. Handing it back to you.
Thank you, Steph, for your service. And the chat is open for exchanging contact details. The question that was sent to me in the chat throughout the week that I remember, if I've missed one, please let me know. But the one that I have here is, what is the connection between vows, sex ideals, and vision statement? Anyone else got that question? I think that's a pretty good question. I thought, oh, I'm going to read that. Thank you. And so we've just finished the sex ideal. And so at the end of it, in the big book, it says there's a paragraph, I believe it's page 69, where it says the word ideal quite a few times. We read it a few weeks ago. So an ideal, and that is specifically talking to our sex conduct. So our intimate partner conduct, that is the sex ideal. Who am I? It's not about their behavior, by the way. It's about me. Who am I when I'm interacting in an intimate partner relationship? So I tended to lose myself. I tended to go all in, like it was obsession, and they were my obsession. And every waking minute was all about them in my mind. And as I did my sex ideal, I saw that I was losing myself, and it's not healthy. It was a lot of this diagram I was giving you with where my hands, and I was enmeshed with that person. So my sex ideal, there's an alarm going off. My sex ideal was to bring that in, to get not abandon myself, and I started to build a sex ideal. One of my first sex ideals was to wait, because I tended to jump in and jump. I'm going to jump wherever. I just made decisions really quickly, so that's the sex ideal. The vision statement is a combination of all the inventory that you've done. So it's in introducing perhaps also the resentment work and the real role that you started to see, the pattern of a real role, and perhaps the fear at the end where you start to, what is the principle? What would that behavior manifest? What would someone in recovery do? So there are different ways of creating ideals. And the vision statement is a combination of those different ideals. So it's a holistic, it's not just intimate partner, Joe. Who am I in an intimate partner relationship? Who am I at work? Who am I when I walk down the street? Who am I as a sponsor? Who am I as a human being? The vision of who I am, a vision statement. It's a bigger picture. And a vow. The first word there, a vow. I don't know. That might be a cultural definition. I don't know. For me, those vows are what I did when it was New Year's resolutions, and I vow never to use again, or I vow I'll start on Monday. And so that might just be my definition of it. So I think That's a different word that I understand differently, and I think there might be, these are all just words. So I don't tend to use the word vowel, VOW, too much in my language. My history of that word was more along the lines of what I did in disease. I promise never to do it again. And then I did it again, you know. So I don't tend to use that word. I like new words because they don't have the history, the baggage, the shame attached to them. So this was the sex ideal and the vision statement. So that was just a word, a question that came to me through the week. And thank you. I'm happy to look at questions like that, if I can share my experience. But I'm one person. You have experience too. I'd love to encourage us to write down questions and ask questions and be part of a discussion board now, discussion group. You have wisdom. And I'd love to hear the experience as we grow and as we learn from each other. So what we're doing right now is moving into reading from the book. Am I right, Steph? Where did I say anything else? I'd like to start by reading page 70 of the big book. It starts with, if we have. We read one paragraph at a time, and I think we go to the end of the chapter. I have to find my big book. So, page 70. And if we have a raised hand, that would be great. If we, oh, so it's only a few paragraphs, two. If we have been thorough. All right. So, Laurie, welcome. Let me just get you unmuted when you're ready. So, do we have a timer at the moment in the room? Ah, oh, Darlene, hello. 2 minutes when you're ready, Darlene. Go ahead, Laurie. So, if you read the paragraph and then share for up to 2 minutes, and then the next person can share on the paragraph that Laurie is reading, or you can read the next paragraph. I'd also like to have about 10 minutes of readings or sharing. So, if you would like to raise your hand, just general sharing on what you're hearing or what you've heard so far in the meeting. Please raise your hand and be part of that. Thank you, Laurie. Welcome.
Hey, family. Okay. All right. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill towards all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct, and we're willing to straighten out the past if we can. Oh, wow. Okay. Sorry, there's a storm here and it just popped my ears. Wow, that's a meaty paragraph. Okay. All right, so today I had some resentments and I did my 10th step on it with another fellow and the futility and the fatality is because if I'm not present and I'm up in my head, I can tell you that when I went up in my head today, thinking about it and ruminating about it, I knocked my elbow really hard. It really hurt, you know? And it was just like, oh, I'm chewing on it again, like a dog with a bone. Thank you, God, for bringing me back present. And ow, let if it be thy will, may that not leave a mark. You know, like. But that can happen to me while I'm driving my car, and it can cause an accident. And when I'm riding my bike, and I have a mountain bike, and I'm riding it, you know, sometimes through the city of Miami, it's dangerous. Or I'm not paying attention, and I'm, you know, and I need to be present. And when I'm up in my head and I'm ruminating about something, I'm destroying my peace of mind. It says here, the commence to see the terrible destructiveness. I'm destroying at the very least my peace of mind. That's the least thing. But I'm also, releasing the poison of it into my system. Like I'm sure many of us have heard, the resentment is like taking, poison and expecting the other person to die. But I'm releasing all that toxicity into my system, with thinking about, what can I say to change their behavior, or they can understand me better, maybe, or I go into that not enoughness. I didn't communicate effectively enough. I didn't know, but you know what? When the person went through and I offered to let them vent for a little bit, if I thought that they would help them today, I didn't say vent for an hour. So when it was time for me to eat my lunch and do what I needed to do to take care of
Gentle
me, and I
time
was,
reminder.
thank you, I'll wrap up real quick. And I was at my capacity, and I, mentioned that to her. I'm like, I'm at my capacity. It's time for me to eat lunch now. And thank you for sharing. I gotta go, and I did not. She was like, oh no, I feel, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna let you process that how you need to feel that, because I have no control over your feelings, but I need to go now and eat my lunch and, blah, blah, blah. And it's been a whole day of texting back and forth with this, poor soul who's suffering. And I know how that is. So I'm just being kind and loving, and getting to practice the patience, tolerance, and the goodwill. Thanks for listening for a bit.
Thank you, Laurie. Nicole, welcome. You can share on the paragraph that Laurie just read or read the next paragraph. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. I'll continue with reading. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. If you have already made a decision and in an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And I'll share. So I am grateful and happy to be here. And I'm being a bit hard on myself because I haven't been doing as much work as I would have liked to do. Especially in the last couple of weeks, I haven't done the work because I could not. And I'm here now, and this is all I can do at this moment. And I can look and see what capacity I have, and I can learn to be kinder with myself. And yeah. I plan to do the work. So thank you everybody for having me and for being here.
Thank you, Nicole. Now, just hearing Nicole, remember, the work, you're making it bigger than it needs to be. Whatever the work is, it's becoming this monster cloud. Have you done? We never do a perfect job. I like to, the resentment example that's in the Way of Life document, I wrote that. And it was years later that I saw that I had, at the end, I said I was the, what is it? At the top, my perceived role, Steph, I was the ignored employee. And down the bottom, what was I? I realized I was the boss. What did I think I was? It doesn't matter, but I had no idea.
From the
So I did.
coworker to the boss.
Yeah, at the beginning, when I first did it, I thought I was the ignored coworker. That's what Steph said. Yeah, that's right. And then I do the work, and years later, and I've been teaching this to people and handing it on. And it took years, Nicole, for me to see that I wasn't the coworker. I was the boss. I paid her money. Like, it's like, I'm doing the work and I don't see it. So what are you going to see when you're new? Of course, nothing, like you're not going to see it. So everyone listening, Do you have, and I know you do you have one resentment worksheet written up at least? Right? Yes, I'm waiting for a thumbs up from Nicole. Yes. Do you have a fear train? Yes, I've heard of fear train. Have you had a go at the fear table? Okay, all right. Well, tidy that up, the fear table. Then you've got, have you written those 9 questions for relationships? You've had a go at doing them? Oh, all right. Well, they're 9 questions, 5 minutes. We might have to have a study room and do it today, because I'm sure you can find 5 minutes right now. Okay, so maybe when we do breakout rooms, we'll have a breakout room for those people that haven't done their homework, and it will be silence. We'll put Steph in there. She'll be the coordinator. We can have a homework study group, study breakout room, and just do your work. What are you missing? One, just have a go at those 9 questions. Just have a go at them. So get it ready, Nicole. I'm reformulating what we're doing today. And so you just have those questions in front of you. The resentment work does take a lot of time to do. Like the worksheet is intellectually takes time to understand and to write it up. But the fear doesn't take that so long. The fear table doesn't take so long. I mean, it's maybe a bit confusing, but it doesn't take so long. The 9 questions for the sex inventory work, 5 minutes, doesn't take long. What happens is we do get stuck in our emotions, and so we stall, quicksand. We don't move forward, but the questions themselves don't take long. It's not the same length of time anyway that the resentment works. So, and you won't have done all of them. Like, you won't have done all your resentments. You won't have done all your fears. You won't have done all of your sex conduct. It's just have a practice, like, give it a go. That's it. Just practice and do what you can do today. And that's it. If you've only done one of each of them, that's enough. It's not going to be thorough. It's not going to be complete, but it's a beginning and it's enough and it's perfect. Yeah. So we might do a breakout room in soon, Steph, if you could set them up. And if you would like to do homework in that breakout room, we're gonna I might give you an opportunity to raise your hand, and we'll put you in the homework group. And Steph, I'm going to put you in that group if that's all right, as the chair. So we're going to keep going with questions. And I would, if you could indulge me, Laurie, at the back of the big book is spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening. If you've got your big book, would you mind opening to the back of the book, appendix number 2, and just read? We'll go until we don't have time, but if you could read this, because this is what's happening. Nicole, you having a voice and being able to speak up is a spiritual experience. Did you know? Like, it did, that didn't, it's like these tiny experiences that happen, and we don't always see them. And the spiritual awakening is where you look back over your life and you see, I'm so different to how I used to be. That waking up process where we look back and we see the change. So let's take a moment to remind ourselves why we're here. Laurie, do you want to just do that? Let me get you unmuted. If you could read the first paragraph and then you share for up to 2 minutes. Welcome.
Okay, thank you. I'm Laurie, compulsive overeater, and this is not Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading showed that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. And I'll stop there. And the many different forms, I think I was looking for a spiritual awakening, something that would be like boom, and I'd be cured. I'd be fixed of no more need to eat more food. And I think for me, it's been more of a spiritual dawning. Little bit by little bit, I learn a little bit about myself. Some have been astoundingly amazing, and it usually does follow a step four and five. Some new insight to part of my past I never understood before, but more often it's just a slow dawn. And so to me, it's, I guess it's, I don't know which of those is. I guess it's more of an awakening rather than an experience, but they're both. It's kind of intertwined for me. It's a little bit of both things. And I'm grateful. I would not have learned those things had I not been willing to do the work. Do I do the work perfectly? Heck no. I'll be one of those people in the study group because I have not done those nine questions. My brain is saying, what are those nine questions? I don't even know. So I'm really behind the eight ball, and I'm willing to admit that. Whereas my old self would have said, no, I'll just drop out and feel guilty about the fact that I didn't do it. So I'll pass for that. Thanks.
Thank you, Laurie. Mary, if you could read the next paragraph in the spiritual experience, and we've got time for about two or three more hands if you want to. I'd love to hear from you if you haven't shared yet. Welcome, Mary.
Hi, Mary C. from Ohio. A compulsive overeater, by the way. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden
Now,
revolutionary.
I think we're up
Oh,
to yet. Go
yet.
ahead.
Yet it is true that our first printing gave us many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experience must have been in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. And I have to say thank God for that because I didn't have any major spectacular upheaval. But I have noticed a change because, when I was looking at this, actually page 69, I realized that the futility and the fatality and the terrible destructiveness that I caused was to myself, not to others. It was to me. And I am learning self-compassion and self-love and self-care. That is, I was so mean to myself. And this is a spiritual, it's a slow spiritual awakening. And that is learning to take care, love yourself, and take care of yourself. And it is something very different for me. And, I am one that, honest to God, when you said to do the homework, I would have done every single thing and I would have done it twice. But I've done it all, but I could have done more, but I didn't. But I didn't do it. But I ended up getting COVID and I took a couple of weeks off and just put it aside and took care of myself. And so this to me is definitely having a spiritual awakening. And I see myself, I asked for God for an awakening and he's been coming to me more often and nudging me. Talking to me, that whisper. I hear that whisper. I was in the matter, I was purchasing a large purchase last week. It was a car, and I totally forgot anything about insurance. And a little whisper came to me, why don't you call your insurance agent right now?
Gentle,
And I
kind
never,
reminder.
thank you. And I never thought of it, but that was God's whisper to me. So I am listening. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Judith, welcome. We'll just get you unmuted.
Hi, my name is Judith. Thank you so much, Joanne and Steph, and all the staff helping keep us safe and timing us. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intentions to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. One of the greatest things about this this page and a half is that there's no such thing as mistakes. There's only lessons to be learned. As a famous singer I love, Barbara Streisand, sings so beautifully. But when the first 100, facilitated by Bill, knew that the way his awakening came or his experience, that not everybody is the same. And I'm in the food program. Not everybody's food plan is the same. And now that I've, thank you God, been catapulted in the fourth dimension, I get amnesiac, but I do realize I'm living in a dimension now that does not have value judgments, does not say you should do this, you can't do that, you're not doing, because each day for me is a lifetime. So the humility and courage, though it was not our intention, you know, it's not my intention to hurt myself or anybody else, really. And if I have a moment, I have a bad knee, I went to the ER, and I'm sitting and I'm getting checked in. The gentleman asked me for my driver's license, my health insurance. And before, while I was giving it to him, I had this light bulb experience. Am I blessed that I have a driver's license and I have health insurance? Here I am concerned about my knee, and God had me look at my blessings. Is that a spiritual awakening and an experience? You know, as Joanne says, these are just words. What's happening behind the words, in the silence, in my energetic experience with divinity? Am I relating?
So, mental time reminder.
Thank you. God consciousness, it comes in many different shapes and forms. And as long as I'm trusting my higher power and following the 12 steps, it is what it is. And I am truly grateful. So thank you for letting me share today.
Thank you, Judith. Christina, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Joe. And thank you, everyone that's been sharing. Christina, compulsive overeater. Among a rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Wow. It's beautiful. I think the educational variety, I think, has been my experience, although I also think I've had a lot of experiences or spiritual experiences other than awakening too. And I have definitely changed the way I think, I feel, and I behave since I've been in this program. All my life I had tried by myself, right? So what the difference with this program and the community has been this inner resource, which today I call my higher power, which didn't exist before. And I think this has been one of the greatest gifts of this program for me. I remember when, I don't know, I've been in OA like 10 years, a little bit, and I've been a chronic relapser, But one of the things I have, or that happened to me at the beginning, like at the first 3 months, is that going to the meetings and reading the books, especially the book, I realized there was something other than me. And as soon as I decided that it wasn't all about me, no, I just felt a lot of peace. And since then, I've never felt alone again. Never, never again. Alone has been the reason for me to go back and have my relapses. There's some other stuff, right? But not feeling alone. I'm just stubborn, I think, or want to do it by myself. But I haven't felt alone since then, and not because of the community, of course, but also because I realized there's something else, a lot more. I mean
Gentle time
that's how I
reminder.
relate to my. Thank you, thank you. That's how I relate to my spiritual awakening or experience or both. Or thank you.
Thank you, Christina. So, Marsha, let's get you unmuted. Welcome.
Thank
And
you.
we'll read now to the end of the appendix number two. Welcome.
Thank you. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. And the quote says, "There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation." End quote. Herbert Spencer. This is really interesting. The thing that just jumps out at me is honesty. We're talking about secrets and shame and guilt and dishonesty. And I have like a 48-hour relapse after 5 years of abstinence in my program. And I'm so grateful for just the willingness to come back, because there's no guarantee about that, and I'm looking honestly at what the steps were, what might have led up to this. And I'm realizing, just for myself to say out loud, like there are some things that, even since then I haven't been fully honest about, with my sponsor, with my higher power. And I guess like the power of the honesty is just to not be in belligerent denial, like this like la, like that, just turns me in, and I can't be, because I'm constantly pushing that down, I can't be like available to like my spirit, I think somewhere else, yeah, shame blocks me from the sunlight of the spirit. Like if I'm trying to like hide stuff or like, shade things, then I'm shading myself, and I don't want to do that. And I know what it feels like. I've been through the experience of just completely getting clean, honest, and that is a spiritual experience, or it has been for me. It has really been a spiritual experience, just completely laying it out on the line. And it's a practice. I mean, I'm going to have more conversations with my sponsor, or trusted step guide, about things that have come up that I feel, shame around, not just with
Gentle
my,
time reminder.
thank you, not just with my, drugs of choice, but with people, places, things. And I know that every time I get honest, I get one step closer, to my higher power. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. So I'm just going to put one screen share on, and then we're going to be going into breakout rooms. Let me just do a moment here. If we turn it back to page 75 in our big books and have a look at this paragraph here, you're going to, I'm going to talk next week about a bit more about the methodology of step five and how we might go ahead with it. But let's have a look at this question here. Carefully reading the first five proposals. Well, where do we find the first five proposals? So I'm on page 75, and it's in the fifth step, and it's around this part here. And it says, carefully reading the first five proposals. We ask if we have omitted anything. Well, what are the first five proposals? It's just another way of saying the first five steps. So let's have a look at them. So this is what we're building towards. Let's have a read. If you go to page 58 and 59, you will see the first five proposals. They are number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Anything else that we're putting in there? We admitted we were powerless, that our lives had become unmanageable. And we identify, where am I powerless today? It's not just alcohol. Where else? Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That's what we were just reading about. Step two is this spiritual experience, spiritual awakening, this inner resource. So the third step, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care. Notice and highlight that word care of God as we understood him. So someone who is working in these steps, their life will have self-care. They will also be showing respect and care for those around them, but that is balanced with self-care. Our life demonstrates whether we are in alignment with these steps or not. How's my sleep? Did I meditate this morning? How is my food? Am I nourishing myself spiritually? Am I exercising? Self-care. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Now, I'm sure Bill missed the word, but I don't see the word perfect in here, right? I don't see everything. We do the best we can with the wisdom we have today. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And it's not the other person's inventory. It doesn't say, I make an inventory of what you did. It's an inventory of me, of how I show up. And then number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. So these are the first five proposals. Admitted to God, the last one there, number five, admitted to God. That happens in the quiet, that whispering voice, my inner voice. To ourselves and to another human being, that's the per nature, that's the purpose of a fifth step. The exact nature of our wrongs, as I understand it today, and I know tomorrow I will have new wisdom and I may see things differently, but for today, how am I going? So you read those five, first five proposals, and then you continue in page 75. We ask if we have omitted anything. Is there anything missing? For we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement? put into the foundations? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? So perfectionism, when we get into the perfectionism, I need to do just one more, I haven't done a good enough job. That is morbid self-reflection. It's our ego. Just allowing ourselves to do what we have done today. Tidy it up and have a go. This is it. What we're doing in this workshop is learning a methodology. It may take years, I'm sorry. It just takes what it takes. We show up because it's not about the final destination. It's about the journey. It's about this community of people who are desperately seeking the desperation of the drowning. I today seek recovery. And I seek people who are also seekers. And the journey is the destination. This journey that I am on is the destination. So perfectionism, I lose perspective. And I think the destination is when I get the gold star. There's no gold star. This journey of doing the work and progressing through it, that's the destination, this journey together. So I will now, we'll take a moment to pause the recording and go into breakout rooms. Close up the meeting. Thank you for the breakout rooms, and thank you, Steph, for the admin in the background. We are back in the meeting and closing up with the serenity prayer. Calling on that energy, that mystery. God, please grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful, beautiful day. Please unmute if you want to say goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for the time to do homework.
Thank you.